Today's shiur is dedicated by Dr. Yosef and Mrs. Yael Gurevich in honor of their grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe Rubin. Today's shiur is Masechet Ksubos Daf Ayin, and we will begin on Daf Samech Tes Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom, Ilfo Tola. In order to properly understand how we begin today's shiur, we have to review a Gemara that we learned in Masechta Tainus, Daf Chof Aleph Amar Aleph. The Gemara tells us that Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were both Talmidei Chachamim, who were unfortunately quite poor. And they decided that they would leave the yeshiva and go out to find Parnasa to fulfill the Pasuk, as it says, Efes Kalayir B'cha Evyon. And they went, and as they were traveling, they sat down next to a wall that was about to collapse, and they ate. And two malachim came there, and Rabbi Yochanan heard these two malachim having a conversation. And they were saying, let's make this wall fall on top of these two individuals, Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan. Sheminichem chaya oylam, vayiskim chaya shor. They were sitting and learning Torah, and they gave up the opportunity to sit and learn Torah, and instead of sitting and learning Torah, they went off to work. So the other Malach said to the Malach, let's leave them, because one of them is going to become the Rosh Yeshiva, and it's not yet his time to pass away. Rabbi Yochanan heard this conversation, and he saw that Ilfa clearly had not heard this conversation. So he realized that it was he who was destined to be the Rosh Yeshiva. And he turned around to Ilfa and he said, I've changed my mind and I'm going back to Yeshiva. And even though the cost for going back will be that I will remain poor, the Pasuk says, Kila yechdel evya mikarev aretz. There will unfortunately always be poor people. And that's what happened. Rabbi Yochanan went back to Yeshiva and Ilfa went off to do business. Until Ilfa came back from wherever he had gone for his business trip, he saw that Rabbi Yochanan had been appointed to Rosh Yeshiva. And not only had he been appointed to Rosh Yeshiva, but in those days they always wanted the Rosh Yeshiva to be a wealthy individual. So they had given him the financial means to be the Rosh Yeshiva. When Ilfa came back home, he said, had I remained here, I would have also been appointed to Rosh Yeshiva. Actually, he seemed to have said that I certainly would have been appointed to be the Rosh Yeshiva, because apparently Ilfa was a bigger Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Yochanan. But Ilfa wanted to show that even though he had gone off to learn, to work, he had not forgotten anything of his learning. So he got up and made an announcement and that's where we begin our shiur. Ilfa got up, Tala Nafshei, Biskay de Mechusa. He grabbed on to the sails of a boat, an Omar, and he said, Ikadis the Omarli Milsa de Beir of Chiyah Ravoshia. Is there somebody that's going to bring to me a Brisa, which was taught by Rav Chiyah and Ravoshia, the Lepashtin Le Masnissen, and I won't be able to show them the basis for this from a Mishnah, Nafal Meskata V'Tavana. I'll jump off the boat and drown. The Ben Yoyada explains that Ilfa, even though he made this declaration, which seems to be a difficult declaration, threatening that he's going to commit suicide, Ilfa was convinced that even if he would fall into the water, he would know how to swim and he would be survived. So he says, anybody could bring me a brisa, I could show him the source of that halacha from a Mishnah. The film, Azal Husava, so there was this Talmud Chacham. Typically, whenever we have Husava mentioned in Shas, it means Eliyahu HaNavi. It says the Gemara, Azal Husava, there was this Eliyahu HaNavi came and he said, Tanalei, and he said the halacha that we've been discussing. The brass teaches us, somebody who's a shchimera that we know gives different instructions, or if he's not a shchimeram, he's an individual who is about to travel overseas and he wants to settle all of his needs, and he says, "I want my children to have a shekel every week for living expenses." And the price of food got inflated, and you need two shkolim, a seller, which has two shekel in it, to be able to survive. The halacha is noislam seller. They give him a seller. For we could be certain that the father only said this number because he thought that that's enough for them to live on. When indeed you need more to live on, as we're learning now, he certainly would have given them as much as they needed. However, says the Braise, if the father's declaration was a much firmer declaration, where he said, don't give them only a shekel, when he makes that type of a declaration, then the halacha is einos lohem ela shekel, that you don't give them only a shekel. The machloikas rishonim, what does that mean? Some rishonim say that under all circumstances, since the father was so firm in saying that I want them only to get a shekel, even if it will mean that by giving them less, they will have to take tzedakah, so be it. Other rishonim say that if it's at the cost of going to tzedakah, then we don't give them that. Eistam l'shekel, v'amama meisu. But if the father also made a declaration that when my children die, not that their yorshim should be their yorshim, yirshachem tachteim, he designated who will get the leftover money. So there says the Braise, ben shama tenu, whether he said tenu or ben shama el titnu lem el shekel b'shabbos, it makes no difference how he expressed his declaration. The halacha is einos lohem shekel, they get only a shekel, because since he had appointed other people to be their yorshim, if they will take more than they're supposed to, then there won't be anything left for those individuals. Amalei, so Ilfa said to this Saba, Hamani, who is the Tana of this Braisa? It represents the opinion of Rameya, because Rameya holds Mitzvah L'Kayim Devar Meis. Rameya's opinion is that Mitzvah L'Kayim Devar Meis, and we have to follow his instructions. So the Rishonim ask, it seems that our Gemara is saying, Tosfos discusses this, that only Rameyer is the man d'amar that holds Mitzvah L'Kayim Devar Meis. Does that really mean that Rabbi Yossi does not hold Mitzvah L'Kayim Devar Meis? Says Tosfos, that Rabbi Yossi that hold, it's not that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold a Mitzvah L'Kayim Devar Meis. Rabbi Yossi's interpretation of Mitzvah L'Kayim Devar Meis is a much more limited interpretation. We follow what he said, even when there are reasons maybe not to follow it. Amar Rav Chisda Amar Marokva, Hilchasa Bein Shama Tenu, whether he said, he expressed himself with the word Tenu, or Bein Shama Al Tetnu, he expressed himself with the words Al Tetnu, Noislam HaKol Tzarcham, we give them whatever they need. Seemingly, our Gemara is not following the opinion of Rameya. So ask the Gemara, Hakaimalam, but isn't the halacha like Rameya? The Rameya says, Mitzvah L'Kayim Devar Meis. Answers the Gemara, Hani Mili B'Mila Achronisa. When other instructions the father made, we follow his requirement. Abaha, in the case that we're discussing, Menich Nichalei, the father really, of course, wants to give them everything that they're supposed to get. Why did he express himself in a way that would seem that he's being very firm and what he's going to let them have and what not let them have? The reason he expressed himself this way is only he wants to prompt them to make sure that they're not lazy and they won't just rely that their father left them over money and they don't have to work. But if it was not his intention, says the Gemara, not to give them what they need. So our Gemara is paskening the mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, and there's a machlokes ha-poskim when the halacha teaches us mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. What does that mean? Does that mean only as far as dine mominus as far as financial considerations, or is the mitzvah of mitzvah kaim de remes apply regarding all instructions that he leaves? I saw that this question comes up to the Shulchan Aruch in Chayshe Mishpat Simen Reish Nun Gimel Sif Beis, discusses a person who left over tzavo al tispeduni. I don't want any hespedim set on me. What is the halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch says that we don't make a hesped, and the Sma explains because mitzvah kaim divrei meis. If that was the instructions that this person left, we have an obligation to follow. We have an obligation to follow his instructions. But the Pischei Tshuva in Chayshe Mishpat Reish in Simen Reish Nun Beis quotes a child of Shvus Yaakov. There was a woman that left over a tzava, left over instructions that if the children will have any disputes, she said that this individual that she's designated should be the individual that they should always go to settle the dispute. So we say, so the question is there an issue, says the Shvus Yaakov, of mitzvah kaim divrei meis? And since that was the instruction that the mother left, they always have to go to this person. And he says, mitzvah kaim divrei meis is only regarding dine mamnes, financial considerations, not this. So we have here a not clear, is there mitzvah kaim divrei meis or by non-financial matters or not. There are those that suggest that even though, as we said, the Shulchan Aruch says that if a person left over tzavo not to have a hesped, we shouldn't make a hesped, which we used as a raya, that we say mitzvah kaim divrei meis even by non-financial matters, there are those that say that that is actually not a compelling raya. The reason it's not a compelling raya is because what maybe he meant was in those days, they used to pay the maspidim. They used to pay those that said that rasha. And what he meant to say was, I don't want any of my money used for that purpose. So it becomes, again, only a situation of finances. But it could be by non-financial issues, there is no mitzvah kaim divrei meis. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hosam. The Mishnah says, Haputus, when you have young girls that are 8 or 9 years old that are already intelligent enough to understand business, the halacha is mekar or memkem mekar, their business transactions are considered full-fledged transactions, b'metaltlin, but not by kakos. Kakos, they have to be gedolim. Amar Rafam loishan ol eshein lem shema petropis. When is the halacha that way that they could do their own business transactions when the father had not appointed apotropos? Avyeshem apotropos. If there was an apotropos appointed to manage their affairs, the halacha is emem kamecha emem kamecha. Mamai, how do we know that halacha? Midaktani, em masaktani klum. Our Mishnah said that if somebody had appointed, the father had appointed a shlish, the Mishnah said that the children can't do any transaction. So how do we understand that? Answers the Gemara, a sholish is different than apotropos. An apotropos is an administrator, an external individual. A sholish is a person who the father had actually given over the money to, says the Gemara. Im kain, if the point of our Mishnah is not because the issue is in the age or in the ability of the Ketan to do Kinyonim, but rather the issue is because it was a Shlish, then that's what the Mishnah should have focused on. My aim, my Sektana Klum. Why does the Mishnah focus on the fact that the problem is that she's a Ketana? Shema Mino. From here we see a Filu Ba'alma. As long as there's an apotropos, we don't allow the child to be able to do her own business. Says the Mishnah, if somebody makes a neder that his wife won't have any benefit from him, and this hanah that's being discussed here, explained the Rishonim, is that it's talking about any type of hano. Actually, I saw that there are a number of different opinions amongst Rishonim how to understand the Mishnah. Rashi says, as we just said, that he made a neder that my wife may not have any type of benefit for me. That's Rashi's pshat. The Rebbe Tam holds that he meant only financial benefit, and the Rashba says that it says that it could be maybe only Hanos Tashmish. So again, we're going to learn like Rashi, Hamadas Ishtem Lohenes, Achloshim Yoim, until 30 days, Yamit Parnas. He should appoint a Parnas to manage their affairs. However, yes, Cain, if it's for longer than 30 days, Yotzi, he's obligated to divorce his wife, V'yitein Ksuba, and give a Ksuba. So of course, the Achronim ask a question. We're learning that Yotzi V'yitein Ksuba. And we just learned that this individual made a neder that his wife can't have any benefit from him. So how could she have benefit from him by receiving the Ksuba? That's getting money from him. So many Achronim answer that the Ksuba money is money that she's entitled to. It's not money that's his, that he's giving to her. But as we've been learning through Adam Masechta, this is money that a husband obligates to give to his wife. So since it's money that the husband is obligated to give to the wife, then the halacha is that it's considered hers and she's not having benefit from him, from his money. Rabbi Yudaimer says, Be Yisrael, who's not a Kohen, and he made this nether for Chodesh Echad for 1 month, Yekayim, they don't have to get divorced. But Shnayim, after 2 months, Yotzi V'yitein Ksuba, he has to divorce her and pay out the Ksuba. The Kohen, so by Kohen we have a different concern. The concern is that if he'll divorce her and then he'll regret that he divorced her, he cannot remarry her. A Kohen may not marry a Grusha. So there we extend it. Shnayim, if it's for 2 months, Yekayim, we let them remain together. Maybe there'll be a way, as we're going to learn, that the nether should be mufar, the nether should be annulled. Shloisha, after 3 months, Yitein Ksuba. There's a machlokes Rishonim. Amishta says, under the various different circumstances that they have to get divorced, is that the Beis Din forces them to get divorced, or does Beis Din not get that involved? Duri holds that we try to convince them to get to convince them to divorce her, but we don't force him with physical force that they should get divorced. The Rebbeinu Chananel says that we don't have to even do that much. The Rebbeinu Chananel says we just tell him that the right thing for you to do is here is to divorce your wife, but if we don't do anything more than that. Says the Mishnah, Hamadras Ishtai, somebody who said somebody made a nether on his wife, Shaloi Titaim Echad Mikol Preiris. And the way the Rishonim explained this is that the wife made this type of a nether, and the husband was Mekayim the nether. And as we learned, and we'll continue learning, that if the husband is Mekayim the nether becomes a full-fledged nether. So now, if that was the nether that was made, the halacha is, Yotzi, they should immediately get divorced, V'yitein Ksuba. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Yisrael, if it's a Yisrael where they can, if they, even if they get divorced, they could get remarried, the halacha is Yom Echad Yekayim. For 1 day, we should wait. Shnayim, but if the second day, Yotzi Yitein Ksuba. But by the Kohen, as we just learned, that there's no option of getting remarried, their halacha is Shnayim, for 2 days, Yekayim, they should remain married. Shloisha, on the third day, Yotzi Yitein Ksuba. Hamader es ishtoi, shloi tuskashet be'echem kol aminim. He makes a nether that his wife may not put on one type of perfume that women typically use. Yotzi v'yitein ksuba. Rabbi Yud Yossi Omer, this halacha was said by Anios, shloi nosen kitzva, that he didn't put a time frame around the nether. But in the case by Ashiris, by wealthy people who put on makeup all the time, The halacha is shloshim yom. They give them 30 days. The Yerushalmi asks a question. He says, our Mishnah says that a husband has to take care of his wife, and he has to eat with her. And before we learned that a wife could be supported by a third party, says the Yerushalmi. There's a difference between a wife who gives consent when a husband makes this type of a nether versus a wife whose husband did not give consent. The Ravid explains, when somebody is away for business or for learning Torah, that's when the wife can't protest. But when the husband is home, the halacha is stricter. Says the Gemara. The Kiva, the Meshubba law, the Gemara discusses, the Mishnah began by discussing, Hamadis Ishtay Melahenis law. But ask the Gemara, how could this nether be an effective nether? The Kiva, the Meshubba law, since a husband has obligations, as we've been learning throughout our Masech, the Sherek Susuva Nosu La Yigra, so how can he make such a nether? Kol Kimine, does somebody have the ability by making a nether, the Mafkele L'Shibudei, that the obligation that exists between them should just expire? But Tanan, the Mishnah said that if somebody made a nether, if a wife made a nether, that anything I do should become also to you, and it's tzarich lahafer. Alma, that the husband doesn't even have to be made for the nether is not effective in the first place. Why? Alma, kivin the mishabdalei, since she's obligated to him, laf kol kminei, the mafkei l'shibudei, they don't have the ability to cancel the obligation. So ask the Gemara, Hachanami, given the Meshubba law, a husband has obligation to his wife. Lav kol kamenei, so how does the husband have the ability, the mafkel shibudei, to cancel that obligation? So Rishayim ask that we've learned throughout a Masechta that there are different types of Nedarim. And when one expresses the nether in a articulation of a kainim is a hegdish. And we've learned that hegdish is so strong that it's mafkim de shibud, that it can cancel an obligation. So why don't we just say that the nether was expressed as a kainim, and since the nether was expressed as a kainim, that's why even though the husband, as we're learning, has obligations, they could cancel them. So Tosfos answers that the shibud of a husband to his wife is such a strong shibud that even though he expressed himself in a kainim, the halacha is that shibud, that obligation that a husband has to his wife, cannot even be canceled through a kainim. Ella says the reason. Says the Gemara, the reason that such a nether could be effective, since a husband could say to his wife, keep your wages and I won't support you, so when the husband makes the nether that we're discussing in our Gemara, we view it as that's what he meant to say, that he meant to say, keep your wages and I won't have to support you, and therefore there's no obligation. Ask the Gemara, but in Yisrael HaDa Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, if the halacha that we learned from Rav Huna, Da Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Yochel She'isha She'toyim L'Bala, a wife has the option to say, Ein in the Zayin Yisrael Yisrael, I'm not interested in you supporting me, and I'm not going to have to turn over my UHs. Then, so, if that's the case, why, Kodim She'en Yisrael L'Picha, why, in the case that we learned, when a woman makes the statement, am I in a tzarech lahafer? Lema, why don't we say the same concept? Since she has always the right to make that type of a statement, when she made the nether that the husband won't have any benefit from her, and why is the halacha that the nether is not effective? It says, we can't make it happen automatically. We're talking about a case where he explicitly said, if that's the case of our Mishnah, that a husband has a right to make that statement, panis lamala. Why does he have to appoint a panis? If the neder is an effective neder, he has no obligation to support her. And if he has no obligation to support her, he shouldn't have to appoint a panis. Answers the Gemara, but the Lai Sapka. It's, our Mishnah is referring to a woman who her wages aren't enough to support her. And since the wages aren't enough to support her, that's why the halacha is that the nether is not effective, and that's why we have to do whatever we have to do. Says the Gemara. So before we go further, Tosfos asks a question. Throughout Shas, we know the opinion of Rameya. Rameya's opinion is, ain't other moitzi dvar levatala. People don't make frivolous statement. So our Gemara said, ba'oimelo, that he expressly said Tzivimas, that was an asayich. But ask Tosfos, if we're not going to interpret that what he meant to say was Tzivimas Yudayim was an asayich, then it'll turn out that his nether was a meaningless nether. And we just learned that Rameya never accepts that people make frivolous comments. And since Rameya never accepts that people make frivolous comments, we should say that that's what he meant, even if he didn't say it explicitly. So Tosfos says a very interesting teretz. Where we could easily interpret that that's what he meant, so in order to avoid the issue of ein adam moitzi dvar levatala, that people don't make frivolous statements, we say that that's what he meant. But where what he said doesn't in any way hint to what we want to say it means, ein adam moitzi dvar levatala is not strong enough to change his words. So again, the Gemara said that if that was said, that he said it explicitly. If he said it explicitly, so now we're back to our question. And we're saying now that the nether, therefore, is a valid nether. So why does he have to appoint a panis? So the Gemara said, but life sapka, because her wages don't cover her needs. Ask the Gemara, either life sapka, if her wages don't cover her needs, hadn't kush l'dichte, then he can't cancel his obligation. Amar Vashi, it's speaking about Masekas Dvarim Gedolim. Her salary satisfies her main needs. However, Einim Sapekas Dvarim Katanim, they don't satisfy her minor needs. So right away the Gemara asks, Hani Dvarim Katanim Hechidami, what is the definition of Dvarim Katanim? Either Regila Behu, if these are things that she's used to always having, her Regila Behu. So since she's used to always having them, she should have to give it to her. And if she's not used to them, so he doesn't have to supply them. If he doesn't have to supply them, panis lamala. We're back to our original question. Why would he need to appoint the panis? Says the Malay Tzricha, the regila bei nosha. These were things that she was accustomed to from her father's home. And we've learned many times that anything that a woman is accustomed to from her father's home, her parents' home, her husband has to continue supplying her. But she married him, and he obviously doesn't have the financial ability to supply her with these things. So she's satisfied, she's okay, even though she doesn't get what she's used to. But she says, till now that we had a good marriage, and you didn't make nedarim against me. Even though living with you sort of represented a downgrade of my lifestyle, that's what I do. That's what a wife does for a husband. Hashta, but now you've changed the terms of our relationship. The adartin, you started making nedarim. I'm now willing to suffer. To have my lifestyle suffer, to live with a husband that doesn't give me what I need, that's not what I'm ready to. So ask the Gemara, if our Mishnah is speaking about that there was a panis appointed, so Mishnah Shloshim Yoyim, what is the 30-day cutoff date that the Mishnah spoke about? Says the Gemara, Eredir Shloshim Yoyim, until 30 days, L'shamer Be'inshi. People don't become aware that her husband isn't supporting her directly. And therefore, she's not embarrassed. However, Tfei, when it's more than 30 days, people hear that this is their life, that she's not even being supported by her husband, Vazil Bamilsa. And there are two pshatim. One pshat is that, as I just said, people are, it's embarrassing because to her, because she says people must be speaking. Why would a husband do that to a wife, not support her directly? Another pshat that I saw, that if up to 30 days, nobody knows, and no people will say that if a husband made this type of nether, that he must have found something wrong with his wife. And that's, to her, very embarrassing. So until 30 days, people don't hear about it. So since people don't hear about it, she's not going to be embarrassed that people are talking that this is, that she must have done something wrong. After 30 days, however, says the Gemara, people will know what's going on, and therefore she's concerned that she must have done something wrong. And the Nesiva says, what's the nafkamina between these two pshatim? The nafkamina between these two pshatim is, when does the 30 days count begin? Does it begin from when the nether was made, or does it begin from when he stopped supporting her? Ibai Seima, Shedirik Sherusa. The Amishnah is referring to a case where he made the nether when she was an Arusa. And they're not living together yet. But ask the Gemara, Arusa Mislam Mazaina. But if that's the case, that she's an Arusa, ask the Gemara, is she entitled to support? Answers the Gemara, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, that we're speaking about a case of Giyas Mavalei Nisu, that at a time where the time for the marriage came, they had Erisin, and we learned typically 12 months, the time for the Nisun came, and they didn't have Nisun. That the Mishnah taught us, Oichs Mishloi, at that point he has to support her for Oichlois Betruma. Says the Gemara, Mishnah at Shloi Shemyoim. So now the question is, and that's the case of our Mishnah. So the question is, why is there 30 days cut off if they're not living together anyway? Answers the Gemara, at Shloi Shemyoim of a Shliach Shluchusai. Up to 30 days, we could assume the Shliach will do what he was asked. Tfei, and I saw that the Rashba explains, we have a rule throughout Shas, the Chazaka Shliach Oysa Shluchusai. We could always assume that the Shliach will do what he's supposed to do. So why over here are we concerned that the Shliach won't do what he's supposed to do? So Rashba says, what the Gemara doesn't mean to say that he won't do his Shliach, what his Shlichus, and stop supporting her. What we're concerned is that up to 30 days he does it properly and will give her what she needs. After 30 days, he loses interest and she won't be supported in the proper way. Vibay Seima, another way of explaining a Mishnah, Kshidirishi hi Arusa, that the nether was made when she was an Arusa, so there was no Chiyim Zainus, and then Venesis. And then they had Nisun, and at that point he is obligated to support her, but since he's obligated to support her, but he can't support her, because when he made the nether was valid. And since the nether was valid, it remains valid. Ask the Gemara, but if this woman, Nisus, if this woman had Nisuin, knowing that this was the situation between she and her husband, that her husband made a nether that he can't support her, says the Gemara, isn't that the case of Savar V'Kibla, that she accepted these terms? Answers the Gemara, the Amik Surah Nishan Yachil Kabul. I had the suin on the assumption that I could live this type of life. However, V'achshav Eini Yachil Kabul, I can't survive. Ask the Gemara, when is such a claim a valid claim in Bezdin? Eim Damin El Gabib Mumin, that if a husband married, some woman married a husband that has Mumin, and she said that I got, and she knew, but she says, I thought that they won't bother me, and I see that they do bother me. So that's why it's a valid claim of Bezdin. But ask the Gemara Linya Mazaini, making this kind of claim by saying, I thought I would be able to survive without him supporting me, and now I see I can't. Mi Amrin Hachi? She should have known what she was getting used to. Ella, says the Gemara, we have to go back to Mechvata, Keshnina Meikara, one of the other truths. So we learned in the Mishnah Up to 30 days, he should have a parnas take care of what she needs. Ask the Gemara, or parnas leishlichusay Ovid, why is that permissible? Isn't the parnas an extension of the husband? And if the husband's not allowed to support her, how could the parnas, his shliach, be the one to support her? So the Rishonim ask that we have a rule throughout Shas that ain't shliach l'dvar veira. So if ain't shliach l'dvar veira, he's not considered a shliach of the husband. So the Rishonim and the Achronim answer, the only time we say ain't shliach l'dvar veira is if it's an avera both for the person who designated the shliach and for the shliach to do what the shliach is doing. So then there's a rule throughout Shas, ain't shliach l'dvar veira. Here, the shliach is not the doing an avera. The husband made the neder. The shliach didn't make a neder. That's why the issue of ain't shliach l'dvar veira doesn't come up. The Taz takes a different approach. The Taz takes the approach that even though we have a rule, ain't shliach l'dvar veira, and therefore if I ask somebody to do a shlichus on my behalf, which involves doing an avera, it's not considered as if he's my shliach. We don't say the rule of ain't shliach l'dvar veira, says the Taz, that doesn't mean I'm allowed to ask a shliach to do an avera. The halach as if shluach shladim kevmoisoi would not apply, but it's not. The halacha is not that I'm allowed to ask a shliach to do an avera on my behalf. So again, ask the Gemara, Upanus lav shlichus kavod, Amar Rav Huna, it's not a case where he appointed a shliach, but rather what he said was, kolazon einam mafsid, whoever will take care of my wife will not lose anything. But he didn't appoint him as a shliach. And since he didn't appoint him as a shliach, that's why he's not considered a shliach. Says the Gemara, is that true? If you make that type of a statement, it's not considered as if he's shliach. But Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Gittin says, Mishayim Mushlich Lebor, somebody who is stranded in a pit, and there's a real concern he's going to die, and he wants to save his wife from different types of situations, so he wants to give her a get. And he makes the following declaration, Kol HaShemei Koylir, whoever hears my voice, Yichtav Get, she write a get for my wife. The halach is their shlichim. So we see that even though you didn't make a specific designation, you still can be considered a shliach. Answers the Gemara, you can't compare the two cases. By saying the definitively, yichtav, that means he's making him into shliach. Did he specifically tell this person, go support my wife? He made a much more ambiguous statement. All he said was, kol azon, whoever will take care of her, ain't a master comer. That's why it's not considered a shliach. Ask the Gemara, is that not considered a shliach? Vamar of Ami, b'deleika, if chas v'sholem, a fire fell on Shabbos, hetiru loimer, Chazal allowed one to make a declaration, call Mechaba, whoever will come and extinguish this fire, Einam Afsa will have nothing to lose. And what his goal is, that a Nochri should hear his declaration, and even though normally there's a rule of Amir al-Akum, that one is not allowed to ask an Akum to do Malach on his behalf in Shabbos, here Chazal was concerned, the Metoich Sha'odim Baal Amamaynai, people get very concerned where their house is going to burn down, and we're not going to allow him to make this type of statement. We're afraid that he's going to come to extinguish the fire himself on Shabbos. So the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says, Bidleika, because of these special circumstances that we just described, on Shabbos they allowed to make this type of declaration. Bidleika lamutimai, lav lamutikai gavna. Then in another situation, saying Kala Shemeya, ain't a mafsid. So we see that it is considered a shliach. Says the Gemara, no, it's not considered a shlichus. What does Rav Ashi mean to say when he said b'dleika hitiru, that they only gave this dispensation by Shabbos fire? L'muti shayr surim b'Shabbos. When there are other situations of Shabbos, not where you don't have this great concern that we just expressed of mitayich she'adam ba'olam amaynai, you can't ask an akum to do melacha on your behalf, even in an ambiguous way. But that doesn't mean to say that making this type of an ambiguous declaration means that you made a shliach. Masav Rava, so the Gemara says, how could you say that making a declaration of kol shemeya in a mafsid is not considered a shlichus? The Mishnah Masech Nedarim says, Hamud anam mechaveray. Somebody made a neder that he can't have benefit from somebody else. Ve'enlai ma'ayoichel, now he doesn't have what to eat. Yelech etzel chanveni, the one that made the neder that says that this person can't benefit from me, and I see that this person is desperate for food. So the person who made the neder should go to the chanveni aroigel etzloi, he should go to the storekeeper with whom he has a relationship, and he should say, this person can't have any benefit from me. And what should I do to help him? For who? And the storekeeper will give him whatever he needs. And he could take what he's owed from the person who made the nether. So we see, only because he made this very ambiguous statement, because he said, any day mad esaloi, hachi udishari, we're lenient. Aval, in all other situations, kolazon, if he had made the type of designation of kolazon enim afsid loi. So we see that kolazon enim afsid is considered an act of making, designating a shliach. Says the Gemara, let me buy you kama. There's a different way of understanding that Mishnah Masech Nedarim. Let me buy you. Certainly, if the person who made the neder had made a declaration of kol hazon eino mafsid, the la'al mekamer, they're just making a very broad statement without appointing any specific shliach. So, of course, that's not a case of shlichus. Aval hai, but in our, by when he speaks to the chenveni, when he speaks to the storekeeper, Kivin the Rogalatzlai, and as we just described, they have a relationship. The Kavs of Kamalai, and he makes this entire speech, any day ma esaloi, and the Chenveni immediately picks up what he meant. Maybe, suggests the Gemara, it should be considered Kaman Domalai Zil Havalai Atami. It's as if he expressly appointed him to be a Shliach, and if he expressly appointed him to be a Shliach, that would not be accepted. Kamashmon, that even making this statement is not considered making a shlichus. But certainly saying kol hazon einam afsid, or any type of statement like that, is not considered a shlichus. And the concern that if you can't have anah, how could you point a shliach, wouldn't exist.